Heavenly Father, it is humbling to be up here before your people. We desire together to come under your word, to hear you. Father, I pray that if anything goes forth from my lips that is not in line with your word, I pray, Father, that it would fall on deaf ears. We want to hear your truth. Give us a greater appetite for your word. Give us a greater desire for your word. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to behold wonderful things in your word. This is a heavy topic. Lord, we need your help as parents, and I pray the same for children, that parents would seek to model the gospel well before their children, to faithfully teach your truth, the full counsel of God to their children. And I pray that our kids, Kelties, would joyfully and happily and willingly honor and obey their parents. And all this for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, the title of my sermon, and some of you are probably pretty excited about this, homeschool. We've done homeschool. Homeschool is a great thing. I'm not talking about homeschool, as you'll see, but the school is a home, right? The home is a school. I said that backwards. The school is a home. You're like, no, it's not. I leave my home to go to school, but the home is a school. And here's the big idea of Exodus 20:12. Holy home life is for the glory of God and the good of the church. Holy home life is for the glory of God first and the good of the church. Now, let me ask this question. I want you to think hard. Do you remember your first school? Think hard. Do you remember the name? Your first teacher? There's one right answer, by the way. It's your home. It's mom and dad. Because the home is God's intended context for children to learn about how the world works, to learn about God, what it means to love God and honor God and follow God. The home is God, his intended place for children to understand how the world works. And that's wisdom, right? So the home is a place of education. The home is a school. Did anyone think home was the correct answer? Some of you did? Okay. Yeah, it's kind of a trick question. Well, here's our text, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So let's just give some context. Where are we right now, and then where have we come from? The fifth commandment, this is number 5, which is after 4 and before 6. The fifth commandment, whoa, I know, I can do math. The fifth commandment brings us, and this is why it's significant, into the second half of the Ten Commandments, where the focus switches from the vertical to the horizontal. These are the kingdom rules. God's kingdom refers to God's saving rule over his people. Therefore, his rule has both a vertical and horizontal dimension. And God graciously, whenever I share the gospel, I talk about, yes, when you trust in Jesus, you are reconciled to God, but at the same time, when you trust in Jesus, you are brought into a new family, a family that is committed to loving you and teaching you and holding you accountable. It's the local church, amen? And this is what's interesting. How God's rescued people interact horizontally is meant to reveal and reflect his rule. And so the horizontal is meant to bear witness to the vertical. Does that make sense? How we interact as brothers and sisters in Christ, how we do life together, is meant to bear witness to the vertical. So when the world looks at the church, they should say, wow, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus as king. A few examples from Scripture where we see this clearly taught is John 13, 34, and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the horizontal bears witness to the vertical, right? Another one is Philippians 1:27, which is actually, spoiler alert, our next book we're going to work through after Jonah. Hey, can I share a quick story? So I remember when I was a youth pastor many years ago, and I think I had just finished Ephesians, and I was going to do a long study through the Psalms. And these were high school kids, about 120 kids, and I said, "Guys, we're going through the Psalms next." And it was like, yeah! They were like excited, and I was like, this is the best night of my life. Apart from when I got saved and apart from when I married my wife. But it was still a great night, just seeing kids so excited about God's Word. Philippians 1:27. Again, Philippians being our next book. I'm going to teach through, preach through. Philippians 1:27, Paul says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel." In the Greek there, he uses the word politeuomai, live as citizens in a manner worthy of the gospel. Live in such a way horizontally that it bears witness to your true home, your true citizenship, which is heaven, right? So that's the point I'm making. Why the order? Why the vertical before the horizontal? Why you shall have no other gods before me, before honor your father and mother? Philip Ryken notes, love for God must come first. That's why. Because the first half of the Decalogue deals with the vertical, and love for God must come first. We cannot truly love one another unless we love God. If we do not respect God, Ryken says, we will not respect one another. So we can hardly begin to keep the last six commandments until we learn how to keep the first four. What have we learned up to this point? Let's just quickly review and run through the first four commandments. So, number one, God's rescued people are to give their sole allegiance to the one true God, the Lord, who has graciously rescued his people for his glory. Secondly, God's rescued people must worship according to God's word, because the word must inform how we worship. Next, God's rescued people must lift up the Lord's name reverently and represent his name faithfully. And finally, what we looked at last week, God's rescued people must regularly gather to worship the Lord. And we do this, why? To help one another prepare for glory and to preview glory. Now, why is context important here? Honor your father and your mother. Why do commandments 1 to 4 matter? Why should we take those into account as we now go into commandment number 5? Well, what is expected of parents up to this point? What's expected of parents up to this point? Adherence to commandments 1 to 4. Okay, so parents who do 1 to 4 are going to generally parent well. And we see a similar order in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. The focus in these verses, I'm going to unpack these in more detail later on, but the focus in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7 is that the parents' task is to faithfully instruct their children in the Word of God. However, what's implied is the children or child's responsibility to come under their teaching. And furthermore, the command to instruct is given. Parents are reminded to do what? They're reminded of three things: God's authority, God's salvation, and God's worth. And that is the subject matter that they are called to instruct God's children in. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, this is called the Shema. Listen, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So again, the Lord is one, his authority. The word Lord, that was, again, his covenant name. He was the Lord who rescued his people, his salvation, and then his worth. He is to be loved with every fiber of our being. And that's what parents are called to instruct their children in. The one true God, the Lord who had rescued his people, is worthy of his people's complete and total allegiance. Parents who internalize these truths, or better stated, who have had them internalized by the Spirit, will inevitably parent better. Now, although the fifth commandment is addressed to children, it certainly applies to parents as well. Does the Bible have a lot to say about parenting? Yes or no? Yeah, quite a bit, I would say, right? So this must be taken into account with the fifth commandment, because children have what? Parents. Honor your father and your mother. Remember, these kingdom rules are being addressed to God's rescued people. How are rescued parents expected to parent their children? They're called to imitate their heavenly Father. His love should be seen in their love, His discipline in their discipline, His grace in their grace. Clearly, the parents' role, especially within the family of God, was and is to represent God to their children by coming under His word. Now, I think some parents abuse this commandment. They throw it in the face of their children, forgetting what it has to say to them. You're going to honor me. You're going to respect me no matter what. But there is a responsibility for the parent as well. It's true. Again, commandments 1-4 apply to the parents. Children, do you think of your parents as a gift? I hope yes. Good, I got a thumbs up. Okay. Parents are a gift of God's grace because parents are a tangible example of what it means to follow after God. At least they're supposed to be, right? Here we have, again, this is what we see in the Old Testament and the New, that parents are to be a walking, tangible example, showing their children what it looks like to follow God as King. There's a great book by D.A. Carson. Anybody know D.A. Carson? New Testament scholar. He's taught at Trinity in Chicago for years. He's written some great commentaries. But probably my favorite book by Carson is his book on Paul. It's called Praying with Paul. And it's just a book that is focused on Paul's prayers to the different churches, for the different churches. But the best part of the book is the introduction, because in it he talks about his dad. His dad was a humble pastor of a small Baptist church in Canada, small congregation. And he talks about how his dad, from the earliest years, like his earliest memories are of his dad on his knees every morning for 45 minutes or more, crying out to God, calling out to God, communing with God. And Carson, in his book on page 14, second paragraph, I'm just kidding. No, Carson, in his book, says, "I don't remember one day where I did not hear my dad praying to God." What an example. What a legacy. Is that you? Again, parents are a gift to their children. Of course, children are a gift to the parents as well. But in our passage today, parents are being called to put commandments 1-4 and all the rest on display for their children. Essentially, parents are called to demonstrate what it looks like to come under God's saving rule. We see this in the New Testament in Ephesians 6:4, Colossians 3:20-21, which we'll look at shortly, but not yet. In your notes, in your handout, I put general principle. What is the point of the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. What's the point here? What's the big idea? What is the Lord seeking to teach his people? The fifth commandment, this is really important. I think this is often overlooked. The fifth commandment is meant to teach God's people the larger principle of submission to authority. And we don't like that word, right? Authority. Maybe you shudder, or you reel, or you balk when you hear authority. But again, just like parents, authority figures are God's gracious provision, because they prepare us for responding to the ultimate authority, who is God. So God graciously places authority figures in our life, from parents to teachers to bosses to governing leaders. We must first learn how to submit and obey from our relationship to our first school. What is it? Our parents in the home, right? So I got three quick quotes. Kevin DeYoung, he writes, "This is where we learn to live with other people. This is where we learn that there are authority structures in the world. The family is where we learn about respect and obedience. And hopefully, if it is a good family, about love and protection." Tim Chester writes, Obeying parental authority is the beginning of respecting authority in general. If children don't learn to respect authority in the home, then society will be chaotic. Even more significantly, we will reject the authority of our Heavenly Father. Alistair Begg, he writes, "The great need for this command is to be found in the fact that we are by nature, what? Rebels. We have a natural dislike for authority. Don't tell me what to do. It is within the family that children are to learn respect for authority." Again, man, the home is a school. And parents are God's gracious means to teach us as children how to interact in the world, how to come under authority in this ultimately for the glory of God. Parents, look at me, parents. And you're a new parent. New parents, look at me. Where are my new parents? How about parents with kids under five? Okay. How's it going so far? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Parents, are your children learning this in your home? Are they learning how the Lord has ordered his world? Authority is good and biblical. Has your way of parenting helped your children to see the goodness of authority, or has it resulted in a bad taste in their mouths for authority? Are they learning to come under the authority of God by coming under your authority? St. Augustine, Augs, what I call him. Never mind. Augs once posted the following question. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And that's a bit of a rhetorical question. No, probably not. As a youth pastor for, I don't know, 15 years, I learned that students who failed to respect me or their leaders on Wednesday nights had learned poor habits before this in the home. A proper view of and understanding of authority begins where? In the home. Parents, your home is a school. Your home is a school. Let's get specific. So again, the general principle, God is teaching us about authority and the importance of authority. We learn that in the home. The specific application is this. Children are to honor their parents. Duh. Okay. That's what the text says. But what does that mean to honor your parents? Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. What does this word to honor mean? Respect and obey. Kaveh. The word to honor, it does mean to respect and obey, but the word itself means heaviness or weightiness. That's strange. What's going on here? It's because this is a weighty matter. It's heavy. It's significant. I remember as a young child, I learned something very important. On Christmas morning, the presents that were heavy, you're like, oh man, it's got some weight, tended to be more valuable. Right? More significant. God is saying, when it comes to honoring your parents, children, this is a weighty matter. This is very heavy. This is very significant. Pay attention. Alistair Begg notes, to honor our parents is to treat them, we might say, with a ton of respect. I mean, he's being cheeky there. A ton of respect. Those Brits. Anyways, I thought it was cute. That's why I shared it. But that's literally what it means, right? It's weighty, it's heavy. So what does it mean to honor our father and mother? Now, according to John Calvin, honor concerns three things. Reverence, obedience, and gratitude. So, children, when you obey your parents, think of those three things. Reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Now, children must recognize that the office of parent is one that God has graciously established and installed for the overall health of the family. And once the child recognizes this, these three things will follow: reverence, obedience, and gratitude. Okay, so again, to honor your father and mother denotes three things. What are they? Reverence, which is like respect, right? To revere someone is to respect them. Obedience means to do what they say. And then gratitude means to be thankful for them, right? So respect, do what they say, and thankfulness or gratitude. Now, Walter Kaiser, he looks and sounds like Yogi Berra. Not Yogi Berra, the catcher for the Yankees, but Yogi Bear. Remember Yogi Bear, Jellystone? He's an Old Testament scholar. He sounds just like him when he talks. It's great. Anyways, in his commentary on Exodus, the only reason I know that is because he used to be the president of our seminary, and I listened to him talk, and I would laugh, but I shouldn't. So, in his commentary on Exodus, let's not laugh at him now, argues that the fifth commandment involves three things. Okay, so honoring your father and mother involves three things: prizing them highly, caring and showing affection for them, and showing respect, fear, or revering them, right? To revere means to show respect. So let me just ask some questions. These are for our young people. Children, do you value your parents, seeing them as a gracious gift from God, given to you to teach you God's word and to model God's word before you? Every night at bedtime, I tell my kids, and Sam, when she's a little bit older, I'll say it to her as well. Now she says, "Dad, Dad, Dad." I'm like, "Oh, sweet girl." I do pray for her every night. But to my boys, for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, I've said, "Boys, follow Daddy as I follow Jesus." And guess what? And Luke always says, "What?" We'll follow Jesus together. But hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. And guess what? We're going to follow him together. Look to my example. Here's the other question, kids, young people, young adults. Children. Now again, children in the Greco-Roman world, and even in the Hebrew world, could be like teenagers, okay? All the way up to the like teen years. So when I say children, they call me a child. Listen, I was the guy in high school, and my parents can vouch for this. We'd go to a restaurant. I'm driving, and I would get the kids' menu. I'd be like, "What? I'm not a child." Well, maybe they were from Greece, or maybe they were Jewish. And they'd be like, "Hey, you're a teenager, so you get the children's menu." I don't know. That's probably not what's happening. I just looked really young. Oh, I didn't like that at all. If it happened now, I'd probably appreciate it. Here's the question. Children, do you prize your parents' wisdom and advice? Now, that's really important. When your parents seek to speak wisdom to you, you can, "Oh, Mom, Dad, come on, you're old. You have nothing to say." Is that honoring them? Of course not. Do you seek them out for help in navigating life? Who's familiar with the book of Proverbs? Solomon, King Solomon, holds up parents, moms and dads, as a treasure trove of wisdom for children. Proverbs 6, 20 and 21. "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck." Students, children, kids, go to your parents for wisdom. This honors your parents. Next, children, are you showing affection and love to your parents? Do you let them know regularly that you love them and that you're grateful for them? Do you express gratitude for food and clothes and for when they feed you spiritually with God's word? Children, are you consistently showing respect to your parents? Is this being communicated by your words and your actions? Man, I think one of my biggest pet peeves is when I see kids speak to their parents disrespectfully. Sass them. I mean, I could headbutt this podium. It angers me. And here's my question. Seriously, students, when your friends come over, what do they witness? What do they behold? What do they see? Do they see young people that honor their parents, respect their parents, man, that's a ministry opportunity? Or do they see someone who doesn't respect mom and dad? Hey, your parents have a lot of, what do we call it? They have a lot of what? Not just wisdom, but someone said it. Well, yes. But they have a lot of life experience, okay? So listen to mom and dad. Now, this commandment is not conditional for children. It doesn't say honor your father and your mother if they parent perfectly. It simply says honor your father and mother. Children, now here's the thing. Children must learn to do this, and parents must expect this. Parents must expect this. Children, obey your parents the first time they ask you to do something. And obey them, as I tell my kids, with a happy heart. Do it with a happy heart. Children, obey to your parents your gratitude. And pray for your parents. Pray for the Lord to give them the grace and the strength to parent you well. Now, when is it not okay to obey one's parents? You're thinking, is this a trick question? Good. When they tell you to disobey God. When their word goes against God's word. Now, we see this principle laid out in Acts 5 with Peter and the apostles. Hey, we told you guys not to preach Jesus. Okay. Who are we going to obey, man or God? We're going to obey God, right? We're going to do what he says. Parents are an authority figure. Amen? Established by God is true, but they're not the ultimate authority figure. As one scholar notes, if your parents command you to do what God forbids or forbids what God commands, you cannot and must not obey your parents. Now, I'm thinking here primarily, and this is very rare, right? But I'm thinking here primarily of parents who are unbelievers. And we had an example of this back in Washington where a young woman came to faith in Christ and she was from a strictly Buddhist family. And her mom said, you will not get baptized. You will not do that. And she came to us, what do I do? I mean, this is my mom. You know, we respect our elders in our culture. And I said, listen, you need to respectfully tell your mom I love you, but Jesus is my king. And the word calls me to go public with my faith. And I'm going to get baptized. I love you. So you can do it respectfully and gently. But again, she needs to see that your allegiance is first and foremost to Christ, your Savior and Lord. What does the fifth commandment mean for parents? Parents are to train up their children in the Word. As always, context is important here. Like, we don't just have Exodus 20, we actually have Exodus 19, 18, 17, 16, all the way to 1, right? So this is one chapter in one book, in one testament, in one Bible. So what comes before Exodus 20? Did you know that before the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, parents have already been tasked with helping their children to remember God's saving work on their behalf? Exodus 12, 21 to 27. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select, this is the Passover, select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians but spared our houses, and the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. Now, a much shorter passage, Exodus 13, verse 8, and then verse 14. You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And when in time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Passover was to be passed on to one's children. In the same way, parents, we must constantly pass the gospel, pass it on, the good news of God's saving work through His Son Jesus to our children. Amen? Pray for and look for opportunities to bring the gospel before your children every day. I love Pastor Aaron. He told me his goal every Wednesday with your children is to tell them the gospel, that Jesus lived the life we could not live, died the death we deserve to die, and rose again victoriously. He says, I want these kids to know that. How are you doing that, parents? I think the thing that broke my heart most in youth ministry was kind of that drop-off mentality that a lot of parents had, right? I'm going to drop off my kids so that you can disciple them. And I said, no. And so I started doing kind of this two-year meeting. We called it Coffee Talk, where I would get with all the parents twice a year and remind them, I get to be a part of that discipleship process, but you are the primary discipler of your kids. You come on Sunday to be equipped for that work. Don't forget that. I love your kids, but they're your kids, right? I get like 4 years with them. You get a lot more than that. As mentioned earlier, parenting well is implied in the fifth commandment. Who or what is the object of the verb to honor? Honor father and mother, right? So these parents have a wonderful and unique responsibility, and so do we, right, parents? I mean, do you view parenting as like, oh, or yes? Thank you, Jesus, that I get to teach my kids about you. I get to live out the gospel before them. Parents who have come under God's saving rule have been tasked with instructing their children in the Word of God. As mentioned already, it is important that parents have already internalized these great truths before bringing them before their children. I think, was it last week, Joey, we had kind of a lunch hangout, like lunch was provided, but I was so encouraged hearing that this brother cares about discipling his children. He's, by God's grace, internalized these truths, and now by God's grace, he is seeking to put them before his children. Praise God. That brings joy to my heart. But you know what? We can't give our children what we don't know. Is true? We can't give our children what we don't know. We learn God's word first and foremost because we love our King. Amen? Like we love Jesus, and therefore we dig into his word because we want to hear the King's voice. But another motive for Christian parents to get into the Word is because we love our children and we want to give them God's truth, but you can't give them what you don't know. And so I want to know God's Word more because I love my King, but I also want to know His Word more so that I can give it to my children. I've known parents, and I shared this with a friend this morning. I've known parents, especially in Texas, who are willing to invest thousands of dollars every year to make sure that their kids have the best coaches, right, for select baseball, where like a one-on-one hitting coach or a one-on-one pitching coach. And yet when it comes to the far more significant spiritual training of their children, they're unwilling to put in the time or the effort or the money to buy resources. And that's a tragedy. Amen? It's true? I mean, come on. I promised you we'd come back to Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. Let's read this together. Hear, O Israel. Shema Yisrael. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Let's break this down. In verses 4 and 5, we learn that the Lord, the Savior of Israel, is the one true God. And the proper response to the one true God, who alone is Savior, is to love Him with every fiber of our being. So in verses 4 and 5, we have both revelation and response. Revelation, One true God who is Savior. Response, love him with everything. Okay? One true God who is Savior. That's the revelation. The response, love him with everything. And then we get to verses 6 and 7. And we learn that this message must be passed on to who? Yeah, our posterity, our children. It is to be first internalized and exemplified by parents, and then it is to be taught diligently to our children. Now, what do you think the Hebrew word diligently means? It means diligently. It means to do something again and again, over and over. It denotes repetition, okay? So how often should we bring these great truths before our children? Often, again, and again, and again, and again. And that's the image conveyed by the numerous activities. When you sit down, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and when you walk, and then the different contexts, when you're in the house, and when you're outside the house. This should be happening all the time. Parents, what you have internalized by God's grace, and are now exemplifying by God's grace, you should be diligently teaching by God's grace to your children. How often? Again and again and again, all the time. Parents must be committed to modeling and teaching. So if someone asks you, parent, hey, what's it like to be a parent? What do parents do? What a strange question. I mean, if someone asked, I mean, didn't you have parents? Well, yeah, but I just want to know. What do parents do? They model and they teach. Christian parents are called to model and teach, namely modeling godliness and teaching the Word of God. So think of it this way, parents. Your life as a parent should answer two questions. What does the gospel mean? Because you're speaking it all the time. And what does the gospel look like? Because you're exemplifying it through a life committed to King Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen? Teach it and practice it. Give your children good theology, model godliness, and do these things consistently. Next, we have the promise. Attached to the fifth commandment is the promise of blessing. What does it mean when it says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you? One, anything that the Lord gives us, what generosity, right? God is a God who gives us gifts. He is generous. He's gracious. Do we deserve his good gifts? Say it in Spanish. No, we don't. I'm waiting to see when that kind of runs out and you're like, just stop. Like, that's just, it's done. 10 years, we'll see. I'm serious. We got to be careful how we interpret this. There's a specific application, and then there's a general principle to be gleaned here. The promise, okay, let me read it one more time, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The promise applied to Israel and the promised land. It was more of a corporate promise, meaning that if Israel kept God's covenant, then they would dwell long in the land of promise, okay? Keep God's covenant, Israel, and you're going to dwell long in the land of promise. And what do we see in Ezekiel? This is so interesting. In Ezekiel 22, verse 7 and verse 15, there's an indictment against Israel, word of judgment. And what does God say? Israel's captivity, their exile, was a result of their failure to honor their father and their mother. What? Is this serious business? They weren't keeping God's word, so they were kicked out of God's sacred space. Walter Kaiser, a.k.a. Yogi Bear. This commandment possesses what we might call a ceremonial or a national promise, but it does have present-day individual application in the same way that all the commandments were meant to give a new quality of life without creating a merit system to gain eternal life. Because again, what came first? What? Say it again.
Rescue. Rescue. What preceded these kingdom rules? God's great rescue of his people. Now, what of the more general principle? That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Obedience to the fifth commandment wasn't necessarily a guarantee that your child would live to see 100. Instead, it was a promise of God's blessing upon God's people. DeYoung writes, it's not a mathematical formula, but you will generally be much better off after learning to honor your parents. Parents, is your home a better place when your children are honoring you and obeying you, or when the opposite is happening? The former, right? Wasn't a trick question. Because when children honor and obey and respect and show gratitude to mom and dad, it amounts to peace and joy in the home. Without obedience, without honor in the home, there can be no peace. No peace. Begg notes, so the principle and the promise is this. Children who are taught to obey God by honoring their parents will grow up to be responsible citizens. And responsible citizens make for a strong nation. Now parents, listen parents, parents make this easier for their children when they follow the Lord's instruction for their own lives by not provoking their children to anger, Ephesians 6:4, by bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, and by teaching them faithfully the mighty truths of God. One more quick word on the promise. Paul quotes this same passage in Ephesians 6:3. Okay, so he quotes the same promise from Exodus 20:12 in Ephesians 6:3. What's Paul up to? He says, again, honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land. Now, surely Paul is looking to a better land. A better land. The new heaven and the new earth. God's promise of future glory for his children is wonderful incentive for obedience now, right? I mean, think about that, kids. Why obey mom and dad? Hopefully because you love Jesus. Hopefully because you want to prepare well for glory. Hopefully because you're looking towards a better land. Who's ever heard the term household codes? Parents, you have any household codes posted in your kitchen? The early church did. It's called Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5 and 6. Now, this was a common practice in the ancient world. Paul's contextualizing here. It mattered how the family interacted because the correlation was this. A strong family, a healthy family meant a healthy society. An unhealthy family would result in an unhealthy society. Okay, so that was the correlation. And so Paul, in much of his writings, talks about the importance of family relationships, husband and wife, parent and children. Show me a healthy church, and I'll show you a church where, in the home, husbands are loving their wives the way Christ loved the church, and where parents are not provoking their children to anger, but bringing them up in the discipline, in the instruction of the Lord. Amen? There's a correlation between a healthy church and a healthy home. Parents, we gather every week to be equipped for the work of the ministry. And we go into our homes and we love our wives, dads, husbands, and we teach our children, moms and dads, the full counsel of God. Amen? Show me a healthy church and I'll show you a church where in the homes of the members, these parents are faithfully gathering every Lord's Day under the teaching of God's word, and they are teaching that truth to their children and they're living it out. Let's talk about the means and the reason. How do we do the fifth commandment and why? Hey, students, look at me really fast. Is it easy to always obey mom and dad, to honor them? Right? Would you be honest to say, There's been times where I've not done that well. I'll raise my hand first. Students, will you raise them with me? Mom and Dad, you better raise your hand. It just happened in the truck on the way over here. Man, I wish I had more time on Ephesians 6, 1-3, but let's look at it together. Paul quotes from the fifth commandment in Ephesians 6. We've already looked at that. Let's look at the larger section. Paul says, children, now this phrase here, and I hope you catch it, obey your parents in the Lord. Ooh. All right. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. You know, even unregenerate children, because of God's common grace, have the ability to obey their parents. Just like if you're a boss, if you manage people in your job, I mean, do your employees, when you tell them to write a report or go to, you know, place B from place A and make this delivery, like, do they do those things? Yes, and that's God's common grace. But in Ephesians 6, Paul is addressing believers, okay? If you read the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 1, he's talking to the saints in Ephesus who are in Christ Jesus. So that phrase, in the Lord, most likely refers to those who are in the Lord by faith. It's an expression commonly used to denote union with Christ. He's saying, children, if you're in the Lord, obey your parents. So I'd argue that Paul is here addressing Christian children. Again, children could be teenagers, right? The language of in the Lord refers to a relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. But not only that. So again, that phrase in the Lord denotes two things. How can children obey their parents, honor their father and mother? Well, if they're in the Lord, they have a new relationship. And two, they have a new power. Because again, if you're in Christ, you have not only Christ as your Lord and Savior and King, but you have the power of Christ to live differently. Amen? So children in the Lord have both a new relationship and new power by which they can honor their father and mother. Why honor and obey one's parents? Christian children should obey their parents first and foremost because of their allegiance to Christ, but they should also obey because what does the text say? It is, it's not wrong, it's right. Now, what does that word mean in Greek? Right. It actually means more than that. It means something that you're obligated to do. It denotes obligation. It's right, therefore you should do it. Why is it right to obey and to honor our parents, children? We talked earlier about there's a greater authority. Who's that? God. And what does he say? Do it. Therefore, it is right. Case closed. What do we learn in Colossians 3:20? Children, obey your parents in everything. Why? For this pleases the Lord. Obeying one's parents is pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because it is seen as obedience to the Lord. And thankfully, God has shown us what is right in his word. Honoring one's parents is evidence of one's allegiance to the Lord. Children, if you say, Jesus is my King, I've trusted in him, what is evidence of that? You're honoring mom and dad. It's true. Parents expect that. Children do that. What's the goal? What is the goal? Children are to honor their parents, and parents are to parent well for the honor and glory of the Lord. This must motivate all that we do as followers of Jesus. Children, why honor your parents? Because God is good, because God is holy, and because God is worthy. Parents, why parent well? Because God is good, and because God is holy, and because God is worthy. One final word to parents before moving on to our final point, and we're going to pray. Why parent well? Why invest in your children? Okay, listen. I heard this, man, this had to have been 2007. And I was listening, I was cleaning my mom's office building, and I was listening to an Old Testament professor in the Midwest. And he said this, it's just stuck with me forever, not forever, since 2007. He said, one of the greatest ways, parents, to take part in the Great Commission is to have a lot of kids, to raise them up in the Lord, and to send them out. And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So parents, if you have kids, praise God. What's your job? Raise them up well. Teach them God's word. And then, you guys know this. What's next? You send them out. You send them out. And we send them out. Why? Because we want to see more and more disciples made of Jesus Christ. Amen? So again, one of the greatest ways to obey and take part in God's Great Commission work is to have godly children. And then two, send them out. How does Jesus fulfill the fifth commandment? Again, children, look at me. Students, I'm not belittling you when I say children, I promise. Have any of you perfectly honored your father and mother? No. But there is one who has. Amen? There is one who has obeyed his father perfectly in our place and on our behalf. His father said, go, and he went. Are you thankful for the perfect son? Do you know the perfect son, Jesus? Are you thankful for the perfect son, the one who lived the life that we could not live? If it was left up to us, if it was based on our track record, if getting into God's eternal heaven was based upon kids, our track record of honoring father and mother, would we get in? No. But who lived the perfect life for us? Jesus did. And then he died the death we deserved in our place on the cross. And then he rose again victoriously in order to bring sinners like you and me into God's forever family. Amen? So if you've trusted in Jesus, give thanks for the perfect Son, the one who blazed a trail back to the Father for us. You know, think about it this way. In Christ, okay, students, we have both the example and the power to do the fifth commandment. In Christ, we have both the example and not just the example, but the power to do the fifth commandment, namely to honor our father and our mother. Well, here's some practice steps. These are from DeYoung's green book, The Ten Commandments. He provides four simple things that you can say, kiddos, to honor mom and dad. The first thing you can say is, yes, mom, or yes, dad. Do this. And I teach my kids, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. That's just, I mean, in Washington, that was just so weird to people. Like, what? That's right. That's how we do it. Prompt. Cheerful obedience is a way to honor your father and mother. Not, but, I don't want to. I don't have any British kids in here, but yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, mom. Yes, dad. The second thing you can say is, thank you, dad, or thank you, mom. Be quick to convey gratitude. Number three, the third thing we can say is, I'm sorry. Oh, man, what a blessing to hear that from your children. I love my son Luke. He is a stinker. I love him like the flower loves the sun. I mean, I love that little boy so much. And thankfully, more recently, when he disobeys and we discipline him, he's gotten quicker to say, Daddy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry. Now, this is probably even harder than the first two. But just say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I knew better, or maybe I didn't, but I do now. And then finally, say hello. You're like, what? Stop by. Pick up the phone. Send a picture. Try to text. If you're married, raise your hand. If you're married, right? You no longer relate to mom and dad in the same way that you did before marriage. You've learned to leave and cleave, and rightly so. But does that mean that your parents are now rendered useless and irrelevant? No. Children, even adult children, are to continue loving and caring for their parents, showing them gratitude and investing in those relationships for the glory of God. And I hope and pray, well, now I get to see them a lot more, but I hope and pray that my parents know how much I love them and care for them and how thankful I am for them. I mean, Pop, you've shown me what it means to be a godly husband, and I'm forever grateful for that. And you, I mean, you shared the gospel with me. But you've modeled well what it means to love one's wife the way Christ loves the church. So thank you. And Mom, you've always been there to pick up the phone if I've been bummed or need someone to talk to, not just as a counselor, but as my mom. So thank you for that. I love you guys. Here are three discussion questions. Think about these this week. Discuss them with your family. Hey, if you have siblings, talk about them together, kids. What does it mean for children to honor their parents? Should parents expect this? Why? Number two, children, how can you do a better job of honoring your parents? Why is this important? And number three, parents, how can you do a better job of parenting your children? And why is this important? Remember that Old Testament scholar? Have kids, raise them up in the Word, and then send them out. And that's a great way to take part in God's great commission work.